I'm Rick Reynolds, and I'm here with my co-host Leslie Hardy, and you're listening to ARC Radio, Radio to the Power of God. Due to the nature of this particular program and the topics discussed, we highly recommend that children are not included as you listen to this program. In addition, the views and opinions expressed during this particular program are certainly not necessarily those of the management sponsors or of the advertisers of this station, just because you can never tell what might happen during this particular radio program. As I said, tonight I've got Leslie Hardy with me, as well as John Haney and Wayne Baker, our other two staff members here in the city of Austin, and we want to welcome you to our first edition of the Affair Recovery Radio. The Affair Recovery Center, actually, for those of you who are listening for the first time, is a community of counseling professionals and couples and who have all experienced issues dealing with infidelity. So we believe we have something to offer, especially all of us on staff have had a great deal of experience dealing with this particular issue. Our mission is ultimately to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, and sexual addiction. So, to begin with, for this first program tonight, we would certainly like to introduce ourselves. And Leslie, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, tonight as we begin our program, we're going to start off by introducing all four of our counselors at the Affair Recovery Center. We will each be giving you a little bit of background information about ourselves, our history with ARC, and tell you a little bit about what we do at ARC. As Rick said, my name is Leslie Hardy. A little bit about me and my background. I didn't start out being a counselor. I actually dropped out of medical school a long time ago to stay home with my son. As life went along and my daughter came along, we went on, and then after about 16 years, my ex-husband left the marriage and shortly married his affair partner. So as I talk to you all tonight, I want you to know that I've not just dealt with infidelity professionally, but also personally. And so I've been in similar places, if that's where you are tonight. Sorry that you're there, but I know that God can use this for good, and that's some of what we're here to talk to you about tonight. I've been at ARC since its inception. Some of the things that I do at ARC, when I first joined Rick, I felt convicted by the Lord to begin groups for women who had been betrayed in their marriages by infidelity, because I remembered the loneliness, the isolation, and even kind of the stigma that I felt as I experienced divorce and really abandonment. But I guess I do also general counseling things. But and let me introduce you to my husband, John Haney. Don't be tripped up by the fact that we have different last names. But one of the things that John and I have done, we've also led a Harboring Hope group for men who have been betrayed in their marriages together. So here's John.
Thanks, Leslie. My name is John Mark Haney, and I've been with ARC for about 3 years now as well. Before that, I worked as a college professor in Nebraska, of all places. I've worked as a church youth program director, as a pastoral counselor, and as a business writer for my first job out of college. Like Leslie, I didn't originally set out to be a therapist. In fact, my first degree was in archaeology, of all things. But apparently that wasn't God's plan, that I'd be the next Indiana Jones, and so over what seemed like kind of a crazy work path for me, I ended up feeling the call to train in counseling among my many other pursuits. And so when I finished my doctorate at the University of Texas, I also did the coursework for certification as a licensed professional counselor. And in terms of the focus of my counseling work, I guess you could say that what has become my primary focus is helping people deal with sexual dysfunction in whatever form that presents itself. I work with a lot of clients who are struggling with sexual addiction, be that pornography addiction or struggling with marital infidelity. And I also work with clients who are dealing with sexual issues in their marriages, which is more of kind of your straightforward sex therapy stuff from a Christian perspective. I get a lot of clients who are surprised that you can say sex and Christian in the same sentence. So My work, as I see it, is about helping people to reclaim the gift of godly sexuality in their lives and to do away with some of the shame and sexual wounds of their past. Also, in addition to counseling, I still teach some online graduate courses for the Nebraska State System and speak from time to time on issues of religion and sexuality in both professional and church gatherings. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. So now I'll turn the mic over to a guy who's both my colleague and my friend, Mr. Wayne Baker.
Thanks, John. I guess I'm the newest kid on the block. I have been married for almost 20 years to the most wonderful woman in the world, and I spent 10 years in corporate America and about 10 years working for a family business before coming to the ARC. Also, I taught middle school math for a couple of years.
Great, man.
But now I get to pursue a lifelong dream of mine. I think when my wife and I got married, I thought I wanted to go to seminary and become a counselor and do the counseling track. But God just had a different plan for me. I had to do a lot of growing up and some maturing before I got to do this. And so I have been at the ARC for a couple years now, a little over 2 years. And I, too, work with individuals, men and women, couples struggling with infidelity and sexual addiction, and also just general marital therapy as well. One of the latest things that I'm doing that I really enjoy is working with couples or individuals struggling with traumatic events in their life, whether it's sexual abuse or combat-related or car accidents. And I use a process called EMDR to do that, coupled with healing prayer, and we'll probably talk more about that later maybe, but I love doing the trauma work with folks. So that's kind of me in a nutshell, and I'm going to give it back to the boss man, Rick.
Well, and while we're doing this, I want you to know you can call us live at area code 512-365-9930, area code 512-365-9930, or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Feel free to bring those questions in. Leslie is a very good artist, and she can answer any art questions. If you have any type of sexual dysfunction, I'm sure that John would love to go on that one. And
I do marriage also.
She also does marriage. She's a very good artist if you have any art questions. And bring those sex questions to John. He would love that, and Wayne will field anything. I mean, this man is a jack of all trades.
I don't know. I'll make it up.
That's exactly right. He's a good brother. And I'm Rick. I began my journey in 1984. When God captured me as a result of my own sexual addiction and infidelity with my marriage. And for that reason, I've had a long journey for many years now. It's almost, 24 years, 23 years. And the Lord has taught me a lot, and which is, I can't even talk tonight.
The Lord?
The Lord. It's going to be a long night, I can tell. But, The concept of the Affair Recovery Center actually began around the year 2000, and this is where it's progressed to this point by the year 2007. We actually began the Affair Recovery Center in about 2004. And hopefully by the end of this year, we will successfully be able to reach many thousands of people. That is our ultimate goal. I specialize primarily in couples and also running groups and trying to herd the cats called Leslie, John, and Wayne.
Actually, we have to try to hurt him. It takes all three of us.
It does. It's a full-time job.
It is kind of a full-time job. But I think we're about ready to come up against our break here. And so let's just take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
And give us a call.
Welcome back to the Affair Recovery Radio, and during this segment, we're going to be working or going over the overview of our services. To begin with, let's begin letting Leslie tell us how to get a hold of us here.
Well, just to remind you, we have the phone lines open for questions. Please call us at area code 512-365-9930, or email us if you prefer at Rick, R-I-C-K, at hope-now.com. Look forward to answering any questions you all have tonight.
So, John, can you tell us about the Emergency Marital Seminar?
You bet. Our EMS Weekend, the Emergency Marital Seminar, is a three-day intensive seminar that's offered monthly as a means to stabilize couples who are actively in crisis, usually through infidelity or sexual addiction. This unique weekend not only facilitates healing, but it provides a proven path for those couples to follow as they move beyond the crisis in their betrayal. It's a very, very intensive kind of weekend. It's a center point of what we do at ARC. It's definitely a eat your Wheaties kind of weekend. It's very intense, but the healing is profound, and as we go along through this process, we're going to be having some couples join us who have gone through that process and sharing their testimony. And just to kind of reiterate, it is for couples in crisis. This is not a marriage builder kind of weekend.
Right, and let me back up just a minute. The reason we want to do this show this way tonight is couples who are actually dealing with infidelity actually need, we believe, a wide range of services. That to begin to recover from this, you're going to need help from many different directions. And so these are the services that we've developed through the years in order to provide those types of supports necessary to help a couple begin to recover from all of this. So John's talking about our first line of defense, which is our EMS weekend, and that weekend actually helps couples who are right at the point of crisis be able to find a way to discover hope and see what the path would be for them to begin to recover. A second type of service that we offer here was going to be what we call our Fair Recovery course. This is a 12-week course offered to couples. We've discovered through the years that one of the things that's necessary if a couple's going to recover is the hurt spouse really has to begin to understand that the unfaithful spouse understands what the pain is that has been created. During this 12-week course, we work a great deal on empathy development and intimacy development, where we begin to help the hurt spouse really feel that the unfaithful spouse has gotten there. And also we work through forgiveness, anger management, relapse prevention, and we help create a vision for the marital relationship.
And even give some basic marital tips.
Right. And try to explain maybe a little bit of why this has happened. Because if you can understand the why and how Satan has come in here and worked against you, then it really gives you hope that maybe there's a way to get back out of this.
But a lot of times, couples, individuals try to get through this pain of infidelity without help. And I don't know if you've ever been around a couple at dinner or a party, and you're pretty sure that one of the members was unfaithful a long, long time ago because they're still paying the price. We're trying to talk to couples about ways to go through this process, this journey, so they can come out on the other side and really have the marriage that they both want, so they're not limping along.
So I have a question for you guys. What's the success rate, Rick, Ben? You've been doing this for a long time. So, and the journey, how long does it take?
The success rate for the couples we work with is at about 90%. And so if someone's sitting there saying there's no hope for this to be able to work out, that's just not true. There certainly is a proven path that people can take. It certainly also takes both people agreeing to go that route. But on the other hand, we have a God. And there's nothing that the nearness of God cannot heal, even betrayal. In fact, if you think about it, one of God's primary, I guess, messages to us is the message of redemption. And that is played out better, I believe, or most profoundly through marriages. And so if you want to see the hand of God, then watch how God can begin to heal a marriage. What was your second question, Wayne?
How long does the process take for most couples?
Well, you want to actually get things stabilized fairly quickly. And the first 90 days are very, very critical as couples begin to heal and recover. The actual process usually is somewhere between 18 to 24 months. So it's not a short journey, but it's also not a painful journey for that entire period of time. The first 90 days are usually the most rugged.
Because we've had couples a year from the point of disclosure of the infidelity. say, I now have the marriage I always wanted. This is the worst pain I've ever been through. I would never wish it on anybody, but it's also the best thing that ever happened to me. And that can be a year away from the discovery of the infidelity.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Go ahead.
I'm saying very often in the process, we include couples who've been through it before and have come out the other side of it. Sometimes in the midst of it, it's easy to lose sight of hope. And if one thing we're trying to promote here is a sense of hope in marriages, that couples can and do get through these things. Very often a couple think that somehow their situation is different, or it's so broken, or it's broken beyond repair. And it's sometimes comforting for them to be exposed to other mentorship couples who've been through something very similar.
As we go through this year with the Affair Recovery Radio, one of the things that will happen is we'll have our mentorship couples on a regular basis so that you can actually talk with couples who have already traversed this difficult territory, who can testify to what God has been able to do for them.
So we're kind of jumping ahead to our online services.
Sorry,
if we can get back to our other services. Speaking of hope, I mentioned earlier the groups that I lead for women who have been betrayed in their marriages, and those groups are called Harboring Hope. It's a 13-week course that's designed to educate people, give women a safe place to talk about their pain, their journey, what they're going through, and ultimately a place where my goal is for them to really find hope in what the Lord can do through this. A lot of times when people, I mentioned this before, are in this process, they feel very, very much alone and feel like they have no one to talk to, nobody that would understand what they're going through, and that those around them, if they shared what was going on, that they would experience condemnation.
What about the men's recovery group, guys?
The Men's Recovery Group is a new group that John and I are doing together, and it's starting to click and rock and roll, I guess, if you will. It is a group that's designed to assist men in their healing from their own wounds and in striving and walking in sexual purity. We kind of walk along with them and encourage them to walk with one another, and as they begin this journey towards not just sexual purity and wholeness, but just the abiding life that's available for all of us.
We just got a question on an email, so Wayne, I'll let you try to answer this one.
Great. Okay.
It says, how can I deal, or maybe Leslie here, how can I deal with the emotional flooding that occurs when my husband touches old wounds that make me feel that I'm not good enough? I've been unfaithful to him, and I'm in recovery, but the pain of the old wounds he has inflicted on me still managed to throw me back into self-condemnation and shame and worthlessness. Thanks.
That's a good one for Leslie, I think.
Well, I guess I'm trying to understand. It sounds like the person that's writing in is the one that has been unfaithful, but yet their marriage is still in a place where there are wounds from the marriage. And I guess just a few things in starting to answer your question. One of the things that we talk about is that it's difficult to deal with the infidelity, you can call it the train wreck, for lack of a better term, and the marital deficits at the same time. And it almost sounds like you're talking about both. I don't know how you guys have been doing in the recovery from the infidelity, but we usually recommend that people deal with recovery from the infidelity before you really deal with the marriage, because it's going to be difficult for your husband to really confront his part of the marriage unless he believes you understand the pain that you have caused him. I don't know what you all would add.
Well, I would agree with that, and I think that there's a lot of condemnation that comes for the unfaithful spouse, believing that maybe it's not okay for them to even have feelings as a result of this. But you bet, the unfaithful spouse can be traumatized and hurt through all of this just as much, but it makes it difficult for them to speak up as a result of the wounds they feel like that they've actually inflicted. In addition, guys, we've had an anonymous caller who wants to know. They said, Jesus says if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So haven't all married men and married women had an affair of lust in their heart? And certainly to some extent, I think we've all been unfaithful to God, which is an amazing thing. And one of the things that we believe here at the Affair Recovery Center is that temptation does not define you. I mean, if temptation defined you, then the person with the most temptation would be the vilest person. And who's been tempted more than anyone else in history? I think that would be Jesus. And yet, he was still without sin. So we know that temptation doesn't define us. And I think that as we are tempted, it becomes difficult to even know when do we cross over into the area of lust. And, you know, that temptation really isn't the problem. It's our response to the temptation that ultimately ends up being the bigger issue. Anybody else have a comment on that particular thought of lust?
Well, one thing that I talk about, and I hope I can make this clear, is that a lot of times when we talk about lust, we talk about kind of our understanding of the male version of lust. And I talk to the women in my groups about what I think is the female version of lust and fantasy. And I think the female version of lust tends to be that if we'll look at a pastor, we'll look at a counselor, we'll look at somebody and we'll go, wow, if my husband could be like that guy, then everything would be okay. And I think that that's how we as Christian women sometimes do lust. And I think we do fantasy by thinking there is that guy out there who will care about my emotions 24/7 and be able to meet all my needs. So I think we really need to look at lust from all different directions. I think lust is me trying to get my needs met.
Right, and as we look at these online services, or not the online, but actually the offline services, we want you to know that at the Affair Recovery Center, we really are committed to providing the services necessary again, for couples to begin to heal from all of these things. So, as we get ready for this next commercial break, remember you can call us at area code 512-365-9930, 512-365-9930, or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Having to say about the emergency marital seminar offered by the Affair Recovery Center.
This weekend helped me process all the thoughts I didn't know what to do with.
As a result of being this weekend, I finally understand how much pain I've caused my wife with my infidelity. I feel like I've been blind since God restored my eyesight.
This seminar should be held in every city in North America. I wish we could attend a regular group.
Please franchise so that you can help even more people.
As you can tell from past participants, the Emergency Marital Seminar has had a profound impact on the couples who have attended. If your marriage is at a point of crisis, we would like to invite you to come join us February 23rd, 24th, and 25th to be a part of this life-changing event. We can be reached at area code 512-346-9299. Or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com. And welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God. I believe we have a caller on the line right now, so Becky and Leander, would you like to tell us what your question is?
I heard that ad for that emergency marriage seminar thing that y'all do.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was just wondering what that is and what you do and stuff. Our marriage is really on the rocks, and I'm kind of wondering if that might help us. So do you think you could just talk a little bit more about that, and I'll just hang up and listen?
Sure, that'd be great. I'm going to try to answer that, and the others can add. But Rick was talking about the 12-week couples group that we have. What we've done with our emergency marriage seminar weekend is we have really tried to condense that 12-week course into a weekend. It's particularly helpful for people who are really in crisis, need immediate help, who have experienced some sort of betrayal in their marriage through infidelity or really any kind of habitual lying.
Right, and I think the weekend really has been very successful at helping couples find hope again. But I will say it's specifically aimed at some sort of betrayal within the marriage. I think if someone comes in and they're just having what they would consider communication problems, it really would not be that helpful. We have mentor couples that come into this weekend that actually share how God has worked with them through their journey. And it is very intense. It begins on Friday morning and runs all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday.
Yeah, and if I might jump in on that, you know, because of the emotional intensity, a lot of people kind of have some fears going in, which is understandable. And to sort of deal with those fears, we make sure that we usually do this at a lake house, and it's completely confidential. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, what is said there is in a safe environment that's not going to be repeated. And you're with other couples who are going through largely the same sorts of things that you're going through.
Right. I think we were talking during the break about coming back to the question that this one particular person asked. And, Wayne, you had made a comment about that.
It was our email question.
Yeah, the email question. That's right.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you wanted to address, it sounded like she may be struggling with a lot of shame, and maybe address how to get out of that shame cycle, especially if they've been in process for a year now. It sounded like that they've been in it for a while.
It's hard to tell, but the shame, I think, is a really important thing to address.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at it, if there's a single destructive dynamic that I know in my work, I don't know if my colleagues would agree that I see more than anything else, it's shame. And a lot of what we try to do in our work is to really achieve some sort of standard of forgiveness and try to understand and get your head around what that really is all about. We throw the word forgiveness around in Christian circles quite a bit, but we often don't get to the point where we internalize it as a reality. And there's a lot of forgiveness that's going on multiple levels when it comes to betrayal. We have the spouse that needs to forgive us for what we've done, but we've also got quite a bit that we need to forgive ourselves for. And that's a pretty tough thing.
Another thing I believe about shame is that shame and pride, and we all think of pride as probably one of the worst sins, that shame and pride are really the exact same thing. You just change the valence from negative to positive. And the problem with both shame and pride is they're about a false image of self, where you somehow believe that you can be good enough or you should have been good enough. And in reality, those of us who are Christ followers really believe in a system of grace versus a system of karma. And under the system of grace, we actually get credit for everything we never did. It's certainly not about us having to be good enough. And if we are in shame, what is actually happening is we're believing or we're showing by that emotion that's being created that we somehow feel like we should be better.
Well, and I think it's really important to differentiate between guilt and shame. Guilt is the conviction that I've done something wrong, which I really believe needs to turn me back to the Lord. Shame tells me I am a bad person, and therefore, really, I'm not even worthy to talk to God. But that's not God's voice. That's the voice of the enemy.
Now, one thing that I found about shame, too, is that I think one of the first messages of shame is that if anybody else really knew what I was thinking or what I was doing or what I have done in my past, then I'm going to be rejected. And shame tends to drive us underground. It drives us into sort of hidden shadow parts of our lives. And, you know, this process, this sort of healing and recovery process, is about bringing that back out into the light and recognizing that if there's anything that sort of unites us, it's our brokenness.
Also during this segment, guys, we're supposed to be talking a little bit about potential online courses and what's going to be happening at the Affair Recovery Center over the next month. AffairRecovery.com is the website that the Affair Recovery Center is based upon. And one of the things that will be happening over the next 30 days is we'll actually be developing, or not developing, but providing online courses and different services for people nationally so that they can actually be involved in a healing process without having to be stationed here in Austin, Texas. So I thought we might go through and talk about what some of those different services will be. One of the things we'll be having is a Fair Recovery Radio, which you guys are getting to listen to at this point. And the Fair Recovery Radio, we hope, will provide an opportunity for you to call in and talk to different experts in the field, not just the four of us, but other authors that are known nationally. So you can talk to those people on a regular basis and get questions answered and not have to travel to all kinds of places to see those individuals.
Well, and just to make it clear once again, a lot of these services that we're talking about, we're in the process of putting onto the website. So if you go to the website, they may not be up yet, but they should be up and coming in March. One of the things that we're really excited about is our mentorship network. And the way this will work is whoever you are, whether you have been the person who's been hurt by infidelity or you're the person who has had the affair, can get online, describe the circumstances, answer a bunch of questions as you're doing that, and then be matched up to a person who's similar in personality and situation, who's farther down the road, and you can talk to them online, have online support with a similar type person from a similar situation.
The other online offering that I'm working on is called Surviving the Big Hit, and that's the course that will help individuals who are severely traumatized by infidelity. And again, I'm using the big umbrella term of infidelity, which we call as the keeping of secrets. And it can be anything from a pornographic affair to actual betrayal.
And that's actually something we're going to be talking about next week, are the different kinds of affairs. Tonight, as we're talking about affairs, we're kind of lumping them all together. But we categorize them into five different kinds, and we'll be talking about that more next week.
Even six, if you want to get into it, maybe seven, but we'll into five.
I'm sticking with five.
Well, it'll make it too complicated.
But another thing that's going to be coming online that's going to be available to people is going to be the Harboring Hope course that I have that, you know, wherever you are in the United States, you can be a part of a group. You don't have to be in the Austin, Texas area to have support from those who are in similar situations.
We'll also have the Affair Recovery course, the 12-week course we talked about, available online, which will be a video course. And hopefully, again, that will be available in the month of April. We're working furiously trying to get that up. But we have to finish the 12-week course. And that particular course, what we've done is we've recorded one of the 12-week courses and have graciously, some of the couples have allowed their voices and their stories to be a part of that course. And so you'll be able to participate with couples as they walk through this and hopefully find some hope and also some ideas and some understanding of what you're going through as a result of the experience that they're actually having at this point in time. John, what type of things will you be doing online?
Well, one of the courses I'm going to be looking at putting up is a course on helping kids survive. You know, obviously, you know, sexual sin, infidelity, addiction tends to have a pretty big trickle-down effect. And the impact of an affair doesn't just affect the adults or the husband and wife. It impacts the children as well. So what this course is going to be about is to offer some practical advice on how to support young children through the process or older children and providing some practical tools for kind of facilitating their adjustment and their healing and kind of trying to answer some of the tough questions about, you know, how do we involve our kids in this process or what to do if our kids have been exposed to something. Very often we'll, for example, have a client comes in who their children have found the parents' pornography on the computer and answering the tough questions about how to deal with something like that.
Finally, we're going to have online forums. We're going to have what we call the Life Course, which I believe all of you will find most beneficial, which is going to talk about basically How do, again, we, do we get here? How do we work through these things? And how do we move into a point of acceptance and healing? And finally, my favorite is going to be the Affair Recovery Profiler, so that people who are in the midst of crisis can actually take this profiler, and there are 856 different outcomes, and we'll give an analysis of what type of affair, what type of person you're married to, and what specific steps do you need to take. Because there are 856 different outcomes, the complexity of this project has been bigger than we thought. And so that one has been a little harder to get online, but hopefully it will be completed in the month of March also.
And could you explain to them what you mean by outcome?
Outcome in terms of, did I say outcome?
Mm-hmm.
What did I mean by outcome, Leslie?
What's the value of this service for them, and what does it mean, and what will they get from it?
Oh, from the profiler?
Yeah.
Oh, the profiler's cool. So what the profiler is going to do is give you a four-page analysis, basically, of telling you, again, who, the type of person you're married to, the types of difficulties being married to that type of person will create as you go into recovery, or if you're the hurt spouse, it'll tell you about the type of person that your mate is, the unfaithful spouse, and the difficulties and what's needed in recovery if you're married to that type of individual. Because actually circumstances change according to personality types.
And type of affair.
And type of affair. So it's really a rather complex matrix to begin to figure out what you need to do. It's not one size fits all by any means. It's a much more difficult and complicated thing than that. So, at this point, let's take a break. Again, our telephone number is area code 512-365-9930, or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Thank you. Having to say about the emergency marital seminar offered by the Affair Recovery Center.
This weekend helped me process all the thoughts I didn't know what to do with.
As a result of being that weekend, I finally understand how much pain I've caused my wife with my infidelity. I felt like I've been blind and God restored my eyesight.
This seminar should be held in every city in North America. I wish we could attend a regular group.
Please franchise so that you can help even more people.
As you can tell from past participants, the Emergency Marital Seminar has had a profound impact on the couples who have attended. If your marriage is at a point of crisis, we would like to invite you to come join us February 23rd, 24th, and 25th to be a part of this life-changing event. We can be reached at area code 512-346-9299. Or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com.
This wasn't just a kiss?
Annie, don't be childish. You know how you manipulate me.
What? Manipulate? What? Oh, my God. Is there someone else?
Of course not. This is about us.
But...
it's really not you, but...
Dave? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This is very awkward.
No. Annie was just leaving.
What? You told her?
I was totally up front.
What? Excuse me?
Well, Annie, this is rough. I know that.
What? Wait a minute. I don't understand. You are my therapist.
I'm a woman.
He is my husband.
Annie, we've been separated for months now. Let's not over-dramatize, okay?
Karen, she's allowed to be angry. Annie, let's use this. He's found someone new. You're free. Close your
eyes.
I'm sorry, but that is not what this is.
Well, Annie...
No,
Annie, you're not helping us out here. Now, I'm sorry. This has happened this way.
I am very sorry I ever met you, and I am sorry that I allowed myself to love you for all those years. Sorry, I do nothing but be there for you every minute of every day and support you in your every move! I'm mad!
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio. and that is actually not that uncommon. That clip is from First Wives Club, and that's Diane Keaton as she finds out about her husband's affair with her therapist. And by the way, we don't do that as therapists, and so that would be an
we lose our license.
It's a criminal violation.
Way too much money on graduate school. License.
That is a criminal violation. But anyway,
but Diane Keaton's reaction is not unusual.
Not in the least. We actually had two more emails during the break here, and so the first one was, "How can I deal with not being able to trust my spouse after finding out that he's been consistently lying to me in our marriage? I found out that he had several relationships with women that he worked with over a year ago. I can't seem to let it go. Although he claims that he no longer has the relationship any longer, this has been over a year, and I don't feel like I can get over it." This is one of the most common problems that couples have as a result of infidelity. Most of the time, the unfaithful spouse really wants their mate just to get over it. And that doesn't work. That actually there is an entire grieving process. There is a lot of things that people have to go through. And just the fact that the person is telling the truth really needs to be established. One of the things we do here is we begin to teach couples how to tell the story. And in fact, and I'm going to drop a bombshell here, we frequently recommend that couples take polygraphs. And we find that a polygraph goes a long way to establishing whether or not the truth has actually been there or not. Anything you guys want to add to that?
I guess one of the things that I would add to that is that a lot of times we talk about trust within marriage, and I don't know how your husband has reacted to your questions, to your concerns, to your suspicions, but a lot of times, as Rick was saying, a person in your husband's position just wants you to get over it, get past it, leave it alone, and so when you ask questions, they tend to get defensive, which makes you think they're lying. And so this whole big pattern can be developed where nobody's feeling understood or listened to or cared about. But one of the things that we also talk about with couples is whether or not your husband is doing things to help you feel safer. Because it takes a while for trust to be reestablished. But in the meantime, there are things that spouses can do to make their mate feel safer in the marriage.
Another thing we could suggest is you can contact us here in the city of Austin at area code 512-346-9299. And we would love to be able to help if we can. Maybe we could provide one of the groups that we've talked about. In addition, we have another email here, which is, "I have had some emotional affairs and two physical affairs. I've disclosed to my husband, and we went through Christian intense counseling. I'm still struggling so much with guilt, even though he's forgiven me. I want to be someone worthy of his love, but I just can't seem to get there. I'm still struggling with temptations to act out, even though I know it's not what I really want. I guess I just don't want to feel I'm worth him loving me anymore. How long will this take to get well?" Anybody want to answer that one?
Well, one of the first things I would want to say about that is, kind of very often people turn to their church or for Christian counseling for support. And it's been our experience that people in that position don't always address the infidelity itself or the betrayal itself. And very often, sometimes the betrayed partner feels like the situation has been turned back on them. Very often, even pastors will give advice that you need to lose weight, you need to be more adventuresome in your sex life, or something like that, without ever really dealing with the betrayal itself.
But I'm not sure that John really answered your question, because it seems like you're the person who has had the affairs and is dealing with your own guilt. And going back to what Rick was talking about earlier, that we're not defined by our temptations, as children of the Lord, that's not who we are. Because to me it seems like you still are trying to work hard enough to be good enough instead of realizing that because of the blood of Christ, you are holy, you are forgiven, you're not defined by what you've done, you're defined by Christ's life within you.
And again, back to the temptations don't define us. I believe that frequently we are tempted. The problem is the choice, not the temptation. You going to say something, Lane? Okay.
I'm just agreeing.
Okay, yeah, the problem is definitely the choice. And I think that being able to accept the forgiveness of God, I mean, as Leslie said, I think it's the enemy that tells us that somehow it's about our worthiness, when in reality it's very much about the fact that Jesus was worthy, not that we are worthy.
Because if your husband has been able to really offer you forgiveness, I would say that you're truly blessed, because you have the gift of knowing you're unconditionally loved, because you've given your husband the chance to unconditionally know you.
And that's one of the things I discovered when my wife, Stephanie, was able to forgive me after all that I had done. It was an amazing thing, because I was never able to be loved unconditionally as long as I was only conditionally letting her know who I was. And once we began to walk in honesty with each other and she continued to forgive and love me, that was actually something very, very profound.
Yeah, and recovery is about a complete identity shift. If we continue to see ourselves through the lens of everything we've ever done wrong and define ourselves by our sins, then we're toast. We don't really have a chance.
There was silence there for a second.
But kind of getting back to the clip as we're sort of wrapping up this evening, I guess just a couple of things that I wanted to say was, when infidelity is discovered, it's normal to feel angry, to feel scared, to feel lonely, to feel isolated, to feel like your life is never going to be okay again. It may not ever go back to what it was, but I would suggest that actually maybe it could be better. With God at the center of this, that there is hope, that He can do great things in spite of the destruction.
And if I might have just a quick closing note myself, one thing I think it's important to do is normalize this thing a little bit. Sometimes we think that this is a few and far between kind of situation. And given our work, you know, and what we see on a day-to-day basis, we can safely say that this is a quiet epidemic that's going on among Christian couples and Christian individuals who are struggling with sexual sin. This is not, a statistical abnormality. This happens all the time.
Absolutely. Up to 60% of couples at this point that we know of are actually struggling with some sort of infidelity. So this is not an uncommon problem. And so a large part of this listening audience has been impacted at this point by this. And you may or may not know. In fact, one of the largest populations are people who are afraid something's happening and they don't know. And so they live in this almost a constant torture of, you know, is there something there? Is there not something there? And even that ends up impacting our marriages. How we have trust is something that's going to be very, very important for us, how we redevelop that. But our trust ultimately needs to be in God, not in our mate. So as we're wrapping up tonight, I think there's a couple of things. We want to invite you to come to our website, affairrecovery.com. We would like for you to sign up for our newsletter. We put out a monthly newsletter. We also have a free gift for those of you who are listening tonight. If you'll just email at gift@hope-now.com. We'd like to give you a copy of the 20 most common mistakes that the unfaithful spouse makes. Hopefully that would be useful not only for the unfaithful spouse, but maybe even for the hurt spouse to begin to understand that we don't always know how to respond, that nobody really taught us what to do in these situations. We can also be reached at here in Austin at Crossroads Counseling and Associates at area code 512-346-9299. I want to add that what we're doing on this program is not counseling. Even though all of us are professional counselors, all we're doing at this point is just giving our opinions. Counseling doesn't happen unless you're sitting across from us in our office.
And we're getting paid.
And we're getting paid for counseling. At this point, we're paying to be on the air, so that's something totally different. Guys, do you want to add anything as we close tonight?
No, thank you for your questions, and thanks for listening.
And it's been a pleasure, and God bless.
KLGO Thorndale Austin and K2 53 AN Sunset Valley Austin is the Word, 99.3 and 98.5 FM.